Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us this morning. We're going to talk about the parable of the four soils today, but in a different approach. And I think you'll find it interesting and applicable to your life. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. If you just search 721 Ministries, and you'll find both of our websites, the primary 721ministries.org. You'll find our different devotional books, our podcasts, everything you need, you'll find by just putting in 721 Ministries and doing that search, and you'll find everything you need. And thank you for listening today. We have been, for the past several weeks, talking about reading your Bibles, reading the Scripture more, but not more just to cover ground or to just to satisfy a checklist, but more depth, more quality, not necessarily quantity. And I've been urging you, and I've been urging the different men's groups around the state with which we meet and deal, and that even if you are reading Scripture now, there are more levels of depth to go to. There's more richness to find. So if you've drifted away and you're not reading, or you're not reading consistently, or sometimes your reading doesn't really do much for you, or if you're reading and it is rich, well, there's more, and you can go deeper. And so this has just been an encouragement where some people say, well, isn't everybody reading their Bibles? No, they're not. And people drift, and they get sideways, and they stop paying attention. So we're going to continue to talk about that. I was talking with a man in one of our meetings, and he said, you know, I'd gotten into the habit of reading four chapters a day. And then it just hit me, there's too much content for me to read four chapters. I'm missing so much depth when I read four chapters a day. It's, in my view, it's sort of like water skiing across the top of a lake versus slowing down and getting in and diving into the water and seeing what's underneath the surface. It's slowing down will show you so many more things. Now, you know, if you're reading Galatians or Ephesians or James or any of those shorter letters and you want to read it all the way through and then come back and read it slowly, I've done that many times. It's difficult to do that with Matthew and Mark and Luke and John or Romans, for instance, Hebrews, but you could certainly do that. But as you crawl through the Scriptures, you will see more and more. And my friend, there's no better way to get closer to Jesus, to know Him better, than reading the Scriptures. Certainly, you can hear from the Holy Spirit. You can hear from your Heavenly Father. You can hear from Jesus, from a billboard, from a non-believer, from a commercial, from anything. He can communicate to you, and He will, in various ways. However, it's been my experience that if I'm not reading Scripture, those type of high beams, we like to call them, those type of touches don't happen, or I don't see them happening. So slowing down, reading your Scripture, finding that place in the morning, designated place, designated time, lighting a candle, whatever it takes to slow down, that is what we're going to talk about when we look into the parable of the four soils. Let me first, though, mention to you what I've been doing with the men for the last 5 weeks. I've done this with various groups. At each men's meeting, I bring in a cup, and I've got a bunch of dollar bills in it, and I've got some dollar bills sitting on top. And I find myself a dollar every time I say God instead of Jesus. I find myself a dollar. Let me be quick to say, I'm not differentiating between God and Jesus. And I'm not saying Jesus' name is better than saying God's name. That's not my point. My point is an exercise simply to have Jesus become more familiar coming out of my mouth, because I want to know Him better, because He is clearly the catalyst. God the Father, the Creator, clearly set it up for Jesus to be the catalyst. So for you, in your journey going deeper, why don't you think about trying this? Every time you get ready to say God, say Jesus, because what you'll find is even if you know Jesus well, you'll stumble a little bit. There'll be times where it'll for whatever reason, it'll feel a little awkward. Now, if you're at a social gathering, if you're at a wedding reception or a party or with the holidays coming up, you can say God. Even around the country, you can say God, and people are okay with that, but especially in the South. But you say Jesus, and people will tighten up. You might tighten up. You know, we did this exercise with the men a few years ago, and it was set up to drive home this whole point about, do you know Jesus? Do you know him closely and intimately as a dear friend, as your Savior, but as a dear, dear best friend? So the exercise was I would pick out a man in the group, let's say Calvin, and I would say, Calvin, introduce Joe. And I knew that Calvin didn't really know Joe. I mean, he knew him. They'd been coming to the same 721 meeting. But Calvin would look a little bit stiff. You know, he'd look a little bit deer in headlights, and he would try to fumble out some information about Joe. But he didn't really know Joe. And then I would say, Calvin, introduce Jimmy. Now, Jimmy and Calvin grew up together. They've been best buds for a long time, and suddenly Calvin relaxes, and he gets a smile on his face. And you know that he has all these stories he can tell because he knows Jimmy so well because they've experienced so much life together. So my question to you is, if someone said, I'd like for you to introduce Jesus, not present the gospel, but introduce Jesus, would you have any stories to tell? Or would it just be mostly information about Jesus, but not really stories where you have done life together? Fun stories, sad stories, great stories, stories where he came to your rescue, stories where you just shared experiences with him. Would you have stories, personal stories of your times, your experiences, your life with Jesus? And on the converse, and more importantly, would he have stories to share about his time with you? That is an exercise I encourage you to think about. So this exercise that I've been doing with the men, again, it's an exercise. It's not trying to elevate one over the other, but just say Jesus instead of God. Say Jesus instead of Christ. I hear Christ a lot. Christ is Jesus' title. It's not his name. I had one man say, you mean it's not his last name? Jesus Christ? No, it's Messiah. So I understand that a lot of this is habit, but just think about it. Next time you get ready to say Christ, say Jesus. That's his name. If you want to say Christ, if you insist on saying Christ, say Messiah. But try this. I think you'll find it interesting. And if I may add one more layer to this, when I hear people, and I know these things are habit, I understand that, but when I hear people say the Bible says, I wince at that. Say God says, or say the Holy Spirit says, or say Jesus says, but don't say the Bible says. Say who said it. And don't say Matthew 5 says. Say who said it. Matthew writes, God speaks, the Holy Spirit through Matthew says. Just try to get into the habit of this thing becoming more and more personal. So let me just, as we get ready to move into the parable of the four soils, and we've got a different application on this today than likelihood you've heard before, but let me just read again Peter's words, the Holy Spirit's words through Peter in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Now you want that, don't you? You want grace and peace in abundance. We all do. And how does Peter tell us, what the Holy Spirit through Peter tell us to get this grace and peace and abundance? Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace and abundance comes through knowing your Heavenly Father and Jesus more and more by immersing yourself in Scripture, spending time with them. But he keeps going. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now, do you want that? His divine power has given you everything you need for a godly life. Do you want that? Yes, I know you do. Here comes the formula again. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So this whole idea of immersing yourself in Scripture, spending more time in Scripture, is all about getting to know Jesus better. So now let's take this parable of the four soils. You find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You find it in Matthew 13 with the most extensive explanation. But we have four different types of soils, and I think Jesus's overall message is this represents our life. But my purpose for today is to apply this to how you start off each morning as you get ready to read your scripture, as you get ready to have what most people call a quiet time. I had one man say, I don't really want to call it a quiet time. I call it a still time. You know, Psalm 46:10, where God says, not Psalm 46:10 says, God says through Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So he likes to call it a still time. My point is, as you sit down to prepare reading the scripture, how do you prepare your soil to receive the word? Because that's the parable. It's about a farmer, that'd be God, planting his word in four different types of hearts. The first one is a path, and it's hard. And the seeds pretty much bounce off of it. No penetration whatsoever. Satan comes and just snatches it away. Birds come and snatch it away. That's the first soil. That's the first heart. Second is the rocky soil. Well, if you've ever done any gardening, if you've ever done any farming, you know that you have to till up the soil for it to receive the seed and flourish and thrive. Well, when you start tilling up the soil, you're going to find rocks, and you're going to find roots, and you've got to get them out of there if you're going to have a thriving crop. So the second soil is a rocky soil. No, there's been no work done to get the rocks out. The third soil, this is the man who reads and really is reading the scripture, but when he or she, you, if you're a lady listening today, when you finish and close the Bible and get up to go off for that day's chores, work, whatever you're involved in that day, you leave it behind. I have so many people say, you know, I can have a wonderful, quiet time, and then I don't think about Jesus until I go to bed that night, and I want to carry it with me. That's soil number three. But soil number four is that rich soil that's been tilled and cultivated, and all the roots have been taken out, and all the rocks have been taken out, and it's been nourished, and it's ready to receive God's word, and the overflow, the abundance of the crop, 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Well, which one are you? And I want to apply this to how you start each morning as you prepare to read scripture. Because I can be soil number 2, 3, or 4. I'm not soil number 1. I don't have a hard heart. It's the word is not bouncing off. The birds are not snatching it away. I'm not number 1 anymore, but I can be 2, 3, or 4 on any given morning. Now, is it the scripture that I'm reading that causes me to be a 2, 3, or 4? Or is it me and my preparation, my soil? Because see, I can go to bed at night and wake up the next morning with roots back in the soil, with rocks back in the soil. If I don't take the time to cultivate my soil before I start reading the scripture, I'm likely not to get anything out of it. And that's just going to be on me. I have found myself reading 2 or 3 paragraphs, and I can't remember anything I read. And I have to stop and slow down and go back and read slowly. So let's take just a moment. I put a chart up on the whiteboard with the men, and I said, heart number one. Heart number one, remember, is the path, and the seed doesn't even penetrate. And I call this heart the hard heart. And I call this the anorexic Bible reader, because nothing goes in. An anorexic condition, you don't eat at all. This heart number one is a hard heart. It's an anorexic reader. Heart number two, I call the popcorn reader. Instead of an anorexic reader, he's the popcorn reader, or he or she, because she's popping all over the place, not actually settling in and reading scripture. This is what I call the hurried heart. They're not spending much time in scripture. Heart number three, I call it the harried heart, because it's letting the distractions of this world and the busyness of this world come in and choke out the word. The heart number three I call the bulimic reader, because whatever he or she eats, she th- throws it back up and goes off for the day and doesn't take anything and doesn't ingest it. It doesn't absorb it. And heart number four, I call the healthy eater, the healthy reader, the healthy heart, the nutritious reader, because he or she is taking in the Lord's word and has prepared the soil for the Lord's word. So I on this chart, I had heart number one, heart number two, heart number three, heart number four for these different types of Bible readers. Heart number one is not reading the scripture anymore. Maybe they read the scripture at one point, but they either drifted and got out of the habit, and or they just didn't get anything out of it. Because whenever they read it, their real motivation was just guilt or maybe a checklist. And they did zero preparation. And so they had distractions all over the place. If you were to see heart number one, and if they sat down, the first thing they do in the morning is they've got the newspaper out, and they've got the laptop going, and they've got the TV going, and they've got their iPod and their cell phone. There's no Bible anywhere around because their heart's been hardened. They're full of distractions. They don't absorb anything from their reading, of course, because they're not reading. If they do, it's just out of guilt. So there's no reproduction. There's no harvest. There's no fruit coming out of that time. There's several scripture passages that apply to these different readers. This heart number one, the hard heart, the anorexic reader. They don't read. They are like Acts 7:51, when Stephen said, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always read, you always resist the Holy Spirit." They've got a hard heart. Maybe they drifted and it became hard, calcified. But they're also like 1 Corinthians 2, where the Holy Spirit through Paul says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Cannot get anything out of them. And they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." We must read the Spirit with the same Spirit who wrote the Spirit. So heart number one is just, their quiet time is no quiet time. It's full of distractions. It's the TV's going, the morning talk shows, and the newspaper, and everything, you know, and that's it. And they're getting nothing out of it. But heart number two, now they sit down for a quiet time. But I call them the popcorn reader, because if you were to see this person sitting down and doing their quiet time, their still time in the morning, they don't really have a Bible. They might have a Bible sitting over here, but they mainly got devotionals. And they'll read a couple of devotionals, and that'll be it. Or they may read a devotional, and, oh yeah, there's a passage in here that's been referenced. I'll go look that up, and they read that. They're popping around, but they're not settling in. Now, see, what I'm encouraging you to do here is to think, which one of these am I at any given point? The motivation of the popcorn readers is really because it's a checklist. It's something that they feel like they should do. So they check it off. Their preparation is zero. They sit down, they start with their devotional, and they move on. The distractions are just as many as they have as reader number one. Their absorption is almost zero, and their reproduction after reading, taking it with them, is about zero too. They look like Isaiah 6:9, which Jesus quotes in the Matthew 13 parable, "Be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving." The heart of these people are calloused, their ears are dull, and their eyes are closed. That's what the popcorn reader looks like. Or he may be the Acts 7:51. He's stiff-necked at this point. Or he may be 1 Corinthians 2. They don't really have the Holy Spirit. So when they try to read it, it means nothing to them. Or they could be Hebrews 4:2, where the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, says, "But the message they heard was no value to them because they did not combine it with faith." They just popcorned around on some reading, but there was no trust and surrender involved. Now, in heart number three, remember, this is the harried heart, the heart that has a lot of things going on in life. This is the bulimic reader who takes it in, but then doesn't stay in. He or she, when she finishes, she gets up and walks out. You know, I light a candle when I sit down to do my quiet time in the morning. I just like it. It creates a warm environment. Sometimes I think of it in the sense of the Holy Spirit. Well, this person, if they lit a candle, they blow it out when they stand up to go walking off. Their motivation, though, I'm going to say, is sincere. They really want to read the Scriptures. But their preparation is really not, is minimal. Now, see, let me pause and remind you that I'm saying I can be heart 2, 3, or 4. I can come away with so much richness, and it overflows throughout the day. I can be this heart number 3 where I don't take anything with me. I can be heart number 2 where I popcorned around and there was no root in it. And it's not the Scripture I'm reading. And if I asked you what is it that's getting in the way, most of us would say distractions. But I'm asking you to, yes, it is distractions. But I'm asking you to concentrate on the preparation, getting your soil ready. Because as I said earlier, I can go to bed with a rich soil and wake up the next day with thorns and weeds and roots and rocks right back in it. It's not something that lasts day to day in this world that we live in. The third heart is sincere, but they're not slowing down before they start. And their distractions are less, but they're still around. Their absorption is some, and their reproduction is some, but not like we would want it. They blow the candle out when they get up to leave. They are possibly like what Jesus was saying in John 5:39 when he said, "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Are you reading the Scripture, but you're not really seeking Jesus in the Scripture to find his life? Or are you, Hebrews 4:2, the message that they heard was no value because they did not connect it, combine it with faith, with trust and surrender. But now let's go to the heart number 4, that healthy heart. Because this is where you want to be. This is how you come away and take this with you throughout the day, throughout your life. And everyone sees that the reproduction, it's 30, 60, 100 times as much. This person is motivated because they are thirsty for more. John 7:37, Jesus says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." This reader is thirsty. And their preparation is total. They slow down. They stop and get still. They've already gotten a strategy for the distractions. I was so convicted by this lesson that I did with the men last week that this week I said, okay, I gotta change. My habit is to get up in the morning, and before I get out of the bed, I will spend 30 to 60 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, thanking Jesus for everything that he's done in my life. All the little things, all the big things. But after that, I grab my cell phone and I check my emails and I check my texts. And I'll probably hit a news feed, maybe check the weather or see about college football. Then I get up and I go in and I shower and shave and I have music playing. Then I go into the kitchen and I make a fruit protein smoothie and I've got music playing. And then after that, I go and I sit down and I start my quiet time. Well, I realize that's really not preparing. That's throwing in a bunch of noise and movement and into my brain, which is hindering my absorption. So now I said, no, none of that. Not till after 9 o'clock. I'm going to sit down, and it may be 8 o'clock, but I'm going to get an hour in before I let any of that get in the way. So now it's pretty quiet. None of that music. I love music. I'll listen to it later. But the fourth heart, which has that 30, 60, 100 times reproduction, that harvest, has slowed down and prepared. Maybe you would stop and just close your eyes and say, "Jesus, I'm here. I'm here in the Scriptures. Holy Spirit, light this up for me. Show me what it is. Speak into my heart. I'm here. I want to see you. I want to meet you. I want to spend time with you." And I've got a little pad of paper here that I'm going to write down questions that come up, or thoughts that I have. And I've got a little yellow index. I've got the little yellow post-it that I'm going to write down things to do that pop into my head. I've got a strategy for my distractions. But I'm slowing down. I'm preparing myself to open up my Scripture. And then I will not be distracted while I'm reading it. The phone's on silent. I'm going to spend this time focused. because I'm like the man that Jesus is referring to, the woman that Jesus is referring to. I'm thirsty, John 7:37. And then John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That's the reproduction. The absorption is total. The reproduction is 30, 60, 100 times what was planted. All because my preparation before I started reading the scripture that morning, before I started with my Oswald Chambers, my preparation was proper. I slowed down. I developed a strategy for the distractions because they're going to come. If you have any children, you have a wife or a husband, you've got a business, their distractions are coming. Develop a strategy. I'm not going to turn the phone on. I'm not going to check email until I finish this. I've got a pad of paper to write down questions. I've got a yellow post-it to write down, oh, I need to call that person at 10 o'clock. I forgot. Write it down and then get back into the scripture. Absorb yourself into the scripture and watch how the seed planted in you, the word, will then germinate and flourish and thrive, and the fruit will come forth. How are you preparing yourself in the mornings? And I hope you're doing this time in the morning, because my friends who do it at night don't get anything out of it, or they get very little because their head's nodding and bouncing off the scripture and they're falling asleep, and they'll readily admit it. But what are you doing to prepare your heart? Are you slowing down? And if I find myself to have moved right in and I'm three paragraphs in and I don't remember anything, I stop and I go back and I say, wait a minute, I got to stop. I got to listen. I got to slow down. I got to still my heart. I got to be still so that I can know who you are. I'm here to meet you. My challenge, my encouragement is for you to think deeply about your preparation as you start to read the scripture, so that you may go deeper in your relationship with Jesus as you read his love letter to you. As he speaks into your heart, your soil has been prepared, it's nourished, it's ready to receive his word. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.